Have you ever gotten an opportunity to which you said yes, just like jumping in with both feet? Yeah, I want to do that. Let's go. And you acted boldly, you stepped out in faith, maybe even in the blind assumption that everything was going to be okay, it was going to work. And then you looked around and recognized where you are and you got a little nervous, like, what did I get myself into? Maybe it's a little thing. Maybe it's a little thing that you thought you knew where you were going, you wandered down, then you find you're on the wrong path, you're going somewhere where you didn't intend. But maybe it's a big thing. New job, moving across the country. Maybe you're an entrepreneur and you, like these students that Mark is talking about, you've set in to do something that you really believe in, you know, is a good thing in the world, and you're going to step out and make it happen. Maybe you've made a big investment, something either of time or energy or of finances, or of some way that you've invested yourself in this, and it's a huge thing. Maybe it's your education. I don't know what all of those components are that we often face in our life, but those big things where then at some point we look at where we are, we look at reality, we look reality in the face, and we get nervous. Oh my. Oh my. Maybe you hung in there and it got better. Things evened out, you settled in, you found your place, you got grounded, you began to feel like, okay, I can do this. Maybe it got worse. Maybe things got harder and you wondered, what am I doing and where is it going and what's happening? Maybe you panicked and said, help, help, I'm in trouble. Whatever we've done, I want to talk for a bit about that moment when we face reality. When we face reality that things feel a little bit scarier than we intended for them or thought they would be when we stepped out. In Matthew 14, verses 22 through 33, we find the story of Peter walking on the water. Now this comes in the 14th chapter of Matthew, and the disciples had been hanging with Jesus for some time by now. They knew Jesus. They had seen healing that Jesus had done. They had seen miracles that he had participated in. Jesus had calmed a storm on the Sea of Galilee. The disciples were even sent out among the people with instructions and authority to cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, and cast out demons. So this wasn't just, Jesus knows how to do this, but we're kind of impotent to deal with anything. Jesus had given them both the authority and the power to go out and do those things. Immediately before this story in Matthew 14, the disciples and Jesus were gathered, and a crowd of 5,000 men plus all the women and children gathered. We don't know how many women and children. Scripture doesn't tell us that story. But there was a huge crowd that had gathered, and they got hungry. They were a long ways away from food, and there were no trucks with fast food that showed up to make it big on the crowd that was gathered. There was nothing going on. And the disciples said, well, we need to let these people go so they can go get some food. And Jesus asked them what they had, and they said, well, just 5 loaves and 2 fish. That's it. I mean, that's worthless. And Jesus said, bring me the 5 loaves and 2 fish. He blessed it. The disciples handed it out, and at the end they gathered up 12 basketfuls. So this is a pretty amazing story. On the heels of that, we find this story that I'm going to read from Matthew 14, beginning with verse 22. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go ahead to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. After he had dismissed the crowds, he went up to the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But by this time, the boat, battered by the waves, was far from the land, for the wind was against them. And early in the morning, Jesus came walking toward them on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified, saying, "It's a ghost." and they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them and said, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came to of little faith. Why did you doubt? When they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." I want to talk a little bit about what Jesus said. "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" Now the truth is, I always felt beat up by that verse. I felt like it was my job to keep my eyes on Jesus 100% of the time, and if I didn't, I screwed up and I was a failure. When I looked at reality, when I looked at the circumstances around me and got a little nervous, I was supposed to have faith to trust in Jesus all the way and hang in there. And if I got caught up in the realities that were around me, I was in trouble. It was my fault. I shouldn't do that. But the truth is, I couldn't maintain faith 100% of the time. And so I felt like a failure. I couldn't always do it. I wanted to. I wanted to believe that it would be okay. I wanted to trust. I wanted to keep my eyes on Jesus. I wanted to keep focusing, knowing that if I did so, I would never sink. Except, it didn't work that way. And so I felt as a failure. 22 years ago, I was sitting in my apartment, and I saw the reality in my situation, and I got nervous. Real nervous. I had moved. I had a new entrepreneurial job. I was in a new city. I didn't have any close community. You know those kind of friends that you can call at 3 in the morning and they say it's okay? I didn't have them at hand. I had a huge opportunity, but I was scared and I didn't think it was going to work. The truth is, it was a slow work in progress and there was too little momentum and I was nervous. It was then that I read this story in Matthew. And I thought about it. Thinking and owning things and going deeper with them often serves us well. And what I heard as I read through it this time was different than something I had ever heard before. Jesus didn't say, "Why did you take your eyes off of me? You failed." In my words, I heard something more like this. "This is really hard. I get it. But I'm with you and I'm going to help you. I'm not going away. I'm not leaving you. I will be here all the time. So don't doubt that I'm with you 100% of the time. No matter how much you question, no matter how scared you get, no matter whether things go totally belly up and it all flops, I am staying. I am with you and I will be with you all the way through this." Don't ever doubt that when you falter, I will be there to pick you up. I will be there to pick you up. So it's like I heard him saying to Peter, don't doubt that I'll be here. All you have to do is reach out and I've got my hand already out and I'm pulling you up. And the truth is, if you do it with me, we can do this. We can take the next step. We can walk together. We can get through this one step at a time. It changed how I looked at that passage. Instead of feeling failure, I felt like Jesus really understood and that he was way more understanding of my situation than I had given him credit for. But at the same time, I realized that Jesus invited me to participate in this radical trust. radical abandonment to who Jesus is and that Jesus is at work and that I could trust that. To know that when we face these situations, we can put our trust in God. That God will always be there through thick and thin, the good times and the bad. Even if it all falls apart, God is going to be there. This God that loves us deeply and wants the very best for us, who is with us. Now, combined with that is this crazy idea that Christians have that we're not supposed to be afraid. You know, you read all the time. I don't know. I should have looked up how many times in Scripture it says, don't be afraid. Well, that must mean I'm never supposed to be afraid. And that I, you know, am to muster up the faith and be strong in the Lord and persevere because God is God and God is present and don't be afraid. But the truth is we do get afraid. And the truth is that Jesus or God or whoever got the message says that in Scripture at times when people felt afraid. It didn't just say it out of the blue. Oh, by the way, I know you never get afraid because you all trust in me, but I'm just going to tell you this anyway. Don't be afraid because, you know, you might want to know that someday. Jesus said it to people that were scared spitless. What on earth is happening? It was a message that came. Don't be afraid. Trust me. We are insecure, and it's okay to live with that insecurity. Actually, the whole world does. It's Americans that think we can be secure and we can guarantee security and we can write laws that will guarantee security and prevent every bad thing ever happening. And as Christians, we deny the reality that we are nervous and afraid, thinking that it's more unchristian. We have to tell the truth. We have to admit the truth, because without admitting the truth, we bankrupt ourselves trying to be safe. We put all the energy in all the wrong things trying to guarantee that we'll be safe, and actually it doesn't work. It doesn't keep us safe. Instead, tell the truth. Live in the truth and in the presence of God. That's what we have. God can't operate in untruth. God can only operate in reality, in truth, and in what's real. So tell the truth and live there. Give our fear, our troubles, our pain, everything to God, and then rest in what is. Know that no matter how awful it gets, God is still there and will never, ever, ever leave us. This journey is one of radical trust in the living God, not in some abstract idea, but in a living, present God who journeys with us and walks with us. Trust as we face the hard times together as well as the good times. We're to hang on. When we get to those scary places, we talk to God about them. We begin with asking, what's next? How do I move forward in this? With this looming in my face, what do we do? Sometimes God says, hang on for dear life. It's going to be a wild ride. Sometimes God says, well, actually, if we shift over here, it will work better. But as we sit and listen, we'll be given knowings. We'll be given leadings. Sometimes God says, okay, you're out on this limb. Now I want you to go back. Whatever, we listen and we ask, what's next? The truth is that Peter was an experienced disciple with many opportunities to learn what Jesus could do. And he got scared and began to sink and looked at the reality and said, I can't do this. It didn't work. Nobody ever walked on water before. No, what? And Jesus was there and walked him in. The same thing is true with us. We aren't new to this journey of trust. We know what it means to trust God. We've walked this path before many, many times. But just like Peter, we sometimes get scared about the realities of life. And we all need this reminder to hang on to Jesus and trust. Trust changes everything. That hanging on and trusting. We trust God and we trust each other. Not because everyone will do and say everything right, but we trust God in each other. And we are committed to following God together. And because we're committed to the long-haul journey of trusting God together, of locking arms, of working it through, of talking it through, of being a faithful people. Trust admits the truth and hangs in there. Keeps listening and keeps waiting and moving forward. I have a nephew, Miles, that's 4 years old. Well, he's six now. But when he was four, he still loves to tell stories. He's a great storyteller and has been for a number of years and loves to make up stories, and they're quite good. But at age four, he was telling stories and he would say, "I'm going to tell you a story, but it'll be a little bit scary, but you're going to be all right." And the realization is that that's exactly what God does to us. I'm going to tell you a story. You're actually going to be the main actor in that story. It'll be a little bit scary, but you're going to be all right. I'm walking with you. One of my favorite passages is at the end of 1 Corinthians 13. We like 1 Corinthians 13 because it all talks about love and that God is love and that we need love to interact in the world. And then it ends with saying that things are going to be a little bit murky on this side of things. It's a little foggy. We don't always see clearly. But in the Message Bible, it says these words. It says, "For now, when you don't know what to do, do these three things. Trust steadily in God. Hope unswervingly and love extravagantly." Those are powerful words. Trust steadily in God. Hope unswervingly and love extravagantly. We're going to wait in a time of open worship, a time of listening to God. I invite you to center into stillness. And then if you are prompted to bring a message, raise your hand and the microphone will be brought to you, as we all want to hear what God is saying to us. Let us listen.